This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. More fallout from hardcore gamers over the next generation of consoles comes just weeks before E3. Plus, Vogue is 1 year old now and we have a new feature to unveil. Tonight is June 2nd, 2013, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy OK says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
So they were talking in chat that there was this girl who couldn't find Chicago on the map because she thought it said Chick-a-go. American education right there. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Welcome. Head on over to our chat room, live.VogNetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night, and you can also check in if you are logged into the site, which you really should be logged into the site, trust me. You can check in and get points and really soon some loot. We're getting to that point where we're going to start awarding loot for this stuff. We've got other loot in the system now. But Degenerate Johnny and Raginator were the first two at the same time, at the same second. And then Fifth Dream was second, I guess, since they tied for first. You can check in, or somewhere in this podcast, there will be a passphrase that you can use to check into the show and also get points in loot as we add that. Vogue, we are now 1 year old. We started, the radio station is a little bit older, but the site that you see, the purple site that's up, that came up June 1st of last year. It is June 2nd. And during the call with OLR tonight, we're going to unveil our new feature. And I've been basically spending the last 2 weeks, when I'm not working, working at my day job, working on this. And I'm really proud of it. And so if you hate it, do me a favor and don't tell me tonight. Wait a little bit to tell me that you hate it. Like, let me have my moment. But we're going to unveil that during the call with OLR at 8:50 Eastern tonight, 5:50 Pacific. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and toll-free number for you to call in. Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can contact me on my website, bobbyblackwolf.com. So, there's a lot of good stuff to cover, but there are two pieces of news that is kind of a downer, so I'm going to go ahead and put them up here at the front. First one is about innocent bystander being at the wrong place at the wrong time. And it's somebody that's very tied into the gaming industry. And KABC TV reports that there was a pedestrian who was struck and killed during a police chase in Santa Ana. And he was identified as 33-year-old Andrew Scott Reese. He was a brilliant mind, and he was walking a crosswalk when he was struck and killed at the end of a police chase on Thursday. Now, Reese's father, who lives in Virginia, said his son moved to Southern California about a year ago. He co-founded Oculus VR in Irvine, which is the very successful Kickstarter campaign for the Oculus Rift headset. So he was one of the co-founders of Oculus Rift. The company, Oculus VR, says, quote, "Andrew was a brilliant computer graphics engineer, an avid photographer and hiker who loved nature, a true loyal friend, and a founding member of our close-knit Oculus family," unquote. And then the statement continued, quote, "Andrew's contributions span far and wide in the video game industry. His code is embedded in thousands of games played by millions of people around the world. Words cannot express how sorely he will be missed or how deeply our sympathy runs for his family," unquote. Authorities say the incident began when officers saw two vehicles full of people involved in some kind of criminal activity in the 1000 block of Rosewood Court on Thursday. When the officers went to investigate, there was a physical altercation between police and 26-year-old Geraldo Diego Ayala, who that ended in a fatal officer-involved shooting. there was a gun located at the scene. The investigators alleged that 21-year-old Victor Sanchez and two other suspects then took off in a Dodge Charger with Sanchez at the wheel. The Charger slammed into two vehicles during the pursuit before hitting Reese. The police says, quote, they ran through several red lights, including the one where they struck our victim, unquote. So it's basically he was crossing a crosswalk and there was a police chase that ended with him. And, you know, my thoughts go out to the Oculus team. I am not a Kickstarter backer, but I do have a dev kit on the way, hopefully, sometime soon. You know, this is obviously, you know, that's pretty young. And for it to just happen like that, you know, all you're doing is crossing the street. And the next thing you know, it's over. Breakman says that police chases are really pissing me off. It's happening more often down here, and it's totally unsafe. The public often gets caught in the crossfire. The other piece of thing, and this is kind of a more, not really a kind of a personal thing. This is I'm more personally attached to this, is that about a young man by the name of David Dreger, and he was known mostly, and he has been known for quite some time in the gaming community as Knuckles Dawson. You may, if you were around when like the Xbox 360 was younger, you know, kind of when the blogging community really started taking off and social media started taking off, you might have heard of Knuckles Dawson. He worked for Xbox 360 Fanboy, which was an offshoot of Joystick, back when Joystick had offshoots like that. But he was most well known in the early days as the guy that got one achievement a day. He was the original achievement whore, and he actually wound up having a 681-day achievement streak where, for the first 681 days of the Xbox, he got at least one achievement each day, and he documented what achievement it was and did all that stuff. He was later hired by Rooster Teeth and worked on their Achievement Hunters show during when it first came out. I've actually had the chance to actually meet Knuckles when I was invited up to the Halo 3 event, launch event up in Bellevue. He was one of the other people. He was an Xbox MVP, and he was up there, and I got to meet him and hang out with him then, and actually ran into him at PAX. He actually came to me and didn't think I would recognize him, and he was, you know, it was like no time passed. The reason I'm bringing that up is because he turned 28 last Sunday on May 27th, and on that day, he deleted his Twitter, his Facebook, and his Xbox Live accounts. He left his wallet, computer, and his cell phone at home, took off on his bike in Vancouver, went and took off apparently to Stanley Park in Vancouver, and his bike and helmet were found under Lionsgate Bridge on Monday, and he is still missing. And the family and friends from all over the world are putting up signs and notices and stuff, just, you know, telling him that, come home. He has been reported to police. The Vancouver police are actively looking for him. And if you have any information, there's a website, findknuckles.com. He's a good kid. I knew him more when he was younger. He left behind a loving family, a girlfriend, a lot of friends along the gaming. You know, he was at PAX East. He was, you know, still goes to the Rooster Teeth expos. So he was still very active. And, you know, he just picked up and left when he turned 28. And nobody knows if he, where he is, if he's okay, or what's going on. And so he's got a lot of worried family members. So Knuckles, if you are listening, I don't think you are, but if you are, let people know you're safe. Just give a sign or something. Findknuckles.com. There's a donation page. They have to rent a boat now to go look, search on the water to see if they can find anything. And that's got the flyer information. If you have any information about where he is, you can go there and contact the Vancouver Police Department. So why don't we move on to video games? Now that all that's done, one of the things I like to do, I like to try to read the previous comments from the previous episodes. Is we're going to go back two episodes because I didn't read any last week. So two episodes we were actually bashing Nintendo because Microsoft hadn't had their announcement yet. And Critical Myth responded saying that against all expectations, I actually agree with Bobby on a couple things this time. This is great. He agrees with me finally. He says, I also use the old text walkthroughs with RPGs. We were talking about Let's Play videos and Nintendo taking the ad revenue from them. He said, I prefer to set them up on my iPad so while playing I can quickly scroll to however far, much farther I've gone, search, and some video walkthroughs are based on assumptions of skill that might be lacking. And then also he said, I'm in Nintendo's court on the whole long play thing. They could have been dicks about it, but they found a middle ground that preserves RP rights while allowing the videos to exist. So that was back before we thought we realized Microsoft was probably the bigger bad guy. So last week, well, I'm going to read two comments. One from Flacco Jones. He said, I've never purchased an Xbox before, but I've actually really liked the TV integration and added convenience of not having to constantly switch sources with my remote. Since backwards compatibility isn't happening with this or the PS4, then I'm open to purchasing whichever console works best with my situation. As far as games, the announcement of 8 new IPs piqued my interest. I just hope they aren't talking about a bunch of Kinect-centric titles because they've made similar boasts of exclusivity before. Yes, it's going to be Kinectables. It's going to be the Kinectables version with monkeys, and then the Kinectables version with Star Wars characters, because how can that go wrong? Maybe we'll get another Han Solo dancing song. And then Kinectables with, yeah. That's what we're going to get. Those are our 8 new IPs. Kinectables with Master Chiefs. And then the last comment I'm going to read is from Osfer, and since he posted this on the website, I can call him out. Because I wasn't going to call him out, or I didn't name him when I talked about him last week, but he outed himself. It's your fault. He says, Bobby, I'm sorry I doubted you, but I hope you did take into account that I only believed you after you showed me evidence from the source. We were talking about how at these press conferences, the E3 press conferences, there are all the companies put in plants in the audience to cheer because the journalists out there don't cheer. We typically say no cheering from the press box. That's a sports journalist term, but it actually works with some of the more serious gaming journalists because we're too busy working to put everything down and cheer and clap at everything that they say. So they put in people in the audience to do that. And he says, he only believed me after I showed him evidence. And he says, this is from Osfer. He says, you should understand more than anyone that people going by word of mouth only is part of what causes all these misleading rumors we hear about in the game industry. Hopefully Microsoft will at least be more discreet in their method of peppering people into the audience to cheer and not piling them all in the back. While they shouldn't matter to the press, it's still something to tilt their heads at. And so one thing is that there's a difference from an unnamed source, anonymous source, giving a rumor to somebody who then reports it, to somebody who's actually been sitting next to the person. And, you know, basically, it's calling me a liar. There's a difference between somebody planting a rumor and not wanting to be associated with it and somebody actually telling you what happened and then you calling them a flat-out liar. There's a little bit of a difference there to me. But it's not really a question of discreetness, really, because it's always this way, and the thing that you don't realize is that press conferences aren't just the media either, and I didn't even mention this last week, I didn't even think about it until afterwards, is that a lot of times the people that are also in the press conference are other developers, are their business partners. So, you know, when they show the new Forza, okay, there are going to be developers from Turn 10 sitting in the audience with the press, and when the Forza reveal is done, those employees are going to cheer because they've been working their ass off for the past year or whatever on that game, and it finally got unveiled to the public. There's nothing underhanded about that. I don't think that that's something to tilt your head at. It's a media briefing, yes, but they also invite their partners and all that stuff. And I don't think there's that big of a problem with that. That's less of a problem than, you know, and it's not even really a problem with Sony bringing in 200 people from their blog that read their blog to come in and cheer. That's the nature of the beast. It's really nothing to tilt their head at, to me. BaconBit says, I don't get it. How come I'm still seeing people doing Let's Plays of current Nintendo games? It's because the whole issue with what Nintendo did with Let's Plays is that Nintendo is not stopping them. Like, that's the whole point. They're not blocking Let's Plays. They're not saying you can't do this. What they're saying is you can't make ad revenue from this. So if you're a YouTube partner, you don't get any of the revenue, but Nintendo can put in ads and they get the revenue from your Let's Play. That's all they're doing. So the content is still there. People can still make them all they want. They just can't make any money off of it. It's been a week since all the Xbox One stuff, and people are still upset. And it's kind of funny because that there are people still upset that they didn't show that any games at E3. And the whole point that I was trying to make, and this was lost on some people because they started putting words in my mouth, is that after June 10th or June 11th or whatever, the day after the press conference, nobody's going to care the day that they announce the games. It doesn't matter at all that they didn't show games on May 21st, because after June 10th, you're going to see the games. And the console's not going to come out until at the earliest November. So who cares the date? And sitting here, you know, hemming and hawing, oh, they should have showed the games first. They should have showed the games first. They shouldn't have showed all this other crap first. They should have showed the games. It's not going to matter. It's after June 10th, nobody's going to remember. Just like nobody, I don't think, remembers that Grand Theft Auto 4 was delayed 6 months. I don't know anybody who said, I did not buy Grand Theft Auto 4 because it was 6 months delayed. Nobody said that they weren't going to buy Smash Brothers because it was delayed a year. Nobody said that. And it's the same way here. Nobody's going to sit there and say, I would have bought the Xbox One if they showed the games on May 21st instead of June 10th. That's stupid. Nobody says that. And, of course, that always got turned around. It's like, see, the casual audience wouldn't have cared if they didn't see it until June 10th. You know, he was trying to spin it, and it was sad. So Sony fired back somewhat. See, Sony... It's so funny. I've been doing this show for almost 8 years now. And I remember in the beginning of doing this show, every week and every month, it seemed, I talked about the stupid Sony PR move of the month. And it was a recurring feature. And even when I did like year-end podcasts, I would go month by month and say, this was the stupid thing Sony did PR-wise. They're geniuses right now. Sony are geniuses. They have played this so perfectly that people are wanting to hand them the crown of the next console generation now, solely because their PR is brilliant. And how are they brilliant? They're not saying anything. And what they do say, they say extremely carefully. And with Microsoft being brash and having the bravado, Sony's like just all happy. You know, that people are overlooking. Like, I mean, everybody forgets. Everybody tells me, oh, yeah, you know, why did Microsoft show the games? Sony, all they showed were games. And I'm like, do you not remember the guys from Media Molecule spending 10 minutes telling you about how they were playing with sculptures with the PlayStation Move? You don't remember that. That was there. That was a part of the PS4 reveal. You blocked it out of your mind, and you're going to sit there with your rose-colored glasses in just February of this year, and you're going to say, well, Sony, all they showed were games. They didn't show anything else. And yet, you know, after the PS4 press conference, we were like, what the hell were Media Molecule doing with those sculptures in the PlayStation? Why do I care about that? I care about my games. Why are they concentrating on that? We all forgot about that now. All Things D reports that where Microsoft has positioned the Xbox One as an entertainment device as a game console, Sony plans to tout its PlayStation 4 as primarily a device for games. Kaz Hirai had a briefing with reporters after an onstage appearance at D, All Things Digital. He says, quote, the most important thing we need to make sure we do, at least initially, is that we all agree and understand that PS4 is a great video game console that appeals to video gamers. If we miss that part, then I don't think we're going to get the initial establishment of the console, unquote. Hirai says that the formula has worked in the past, including with the PlayStation 3. That said, he did say that there are capabilities in the PS4 that will make it well-suited to other uses without giving any details. He said, quote, we take a look at this first and foremost as a game console. We don't want to end there. That's an area we obviously will obviously reveal and talk about in the coming months, unquote. Another important area for Sony is its retail store effort, something Hirai said is continuing and changing with the adoption of new retail formats, including the addition of smaller format stores and kiosks. And this is going about like Sony kiosks and stuff, which I've actually been to one of those kiosks. The company is rolling out the approach it took in its Los Angeles area store to better retail locations all around the globe. But here's the thing. Sony's not talking about the thing that everybody assumes that Sony is like. Everybody's like, oh, Microsoft's doing this crap with the used games. Sony wins. And Kotaku decided that they were going to try to contact, and they were being very persistent. Because Sony has been really murky about how the PS4 will handle used games. Kotaku sent them a whole bunch of questions, very direct questions, and a Sony representative got back to them and said, quote, I looked into this, and at this point we're not providing any additional clarification beyond what we stated at the PS4 announcement. If anything changes, I'll be sure to keep you posted, unquote. And that was specifically about online connections, always online, phoning home, used games, all that stuff. Sony is just sitting back and letting Microsoft take the heat. But one of the questions had actually been answered the day after the PS4 reveal. And I want you to listen to this answer from Sony. I want you to listen to this answer. And this is the answer everybody's like, see, Sony understands. Sony gets it because of this answer. Now, this answer was actually given in February. Sony's game studio chief, Shuhei Yoshida, told reporters that any requirement for users to register a game online in order to play it would be left to game publishers. Sony won't require that. So, if you strip out the speech and how they say it, Sony admitted in February they're doing the exact same thing Microsoft is. Microsoft just said it bad. They said it terribly. And that I'm not saying that's an excuse, because Microsoft needs better PR, apparently. That Microsoft apparently hired Sony's PR. I think Phil Harrison worked for Sony, right? And now he's at Microsoft? Hmm. But basically what they've kind of both said, and even Microsoft, if you strip away the speech and how it's said, what they basically said was that Microsoft said they have several options that they're weighing, and that they are talking with the publishers, and so it sounds like it's going to be a publisher. The publisher can decide what option they want to take for their games. Sony said the exact same thing, that Sony is going to provide methodology to block used games and stuff like that, but they're going to leave that up to the publisher. That's all they've said. They've both said the exact same thing. It's just Microsoft said it matter-of-factly and bluntly, and Sony massaged it and said, no, baby, we still like you. We still like you in your used games. Those publishers may not, but we still like you. Sony still likes you. So congrats to Sony for buying the cool PR, and Microsoft, you got the bad PR. Degenerate Johnny said, if Sony and Microsoft agreed to an anti-used game agreement, Sony said to Microsoft, we got your back, meaning Sony is using Microsoft as a human shield. Baconbit says, so the winner is Nintendo in all this. See, that's the thing. I mean, the Wii U, that's your next-gen console that's going to allow you to play used games, and you don't have to be always connected and all that stuff. So if you want to, you know, send a message, buy a Wii U. How are them apples? Fifth Dream says, well, Sony is Asian, and you know how they are with massages. Oh, Fifth Dream. Breakman says, I think Microsoft realizes that they really have to knock it out of the park at E3. They don't want the Xbox One to be a very slow start. And I think they're planning on that, because Microsoft told IGN that, you know, just days away from E3, it's safe to say that there's one thing that isn't on Microsoft's mind, and it's TV. Despite showing off the Xbox One's compatibility with cable and entertainment partnerships, the company will keep TV talk out of the picture on stage in L.A. Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, said on Twitter, quote, I can confirm that we will have TVs or similar on stage to show the games. That should be the extent of the TV talk in E3, unquote. So, I don't know if Pimp Method is listening. You have now seen, since you don't have the Twitters, you wouldn't be able to see this. But the same guy that said they weren't going to talk about games on May 21st just said they're going to only talk about games on June 10th. You can start holding your breath. So E3 is going to be all about the games. PS4, it's all going to be about the games. And I'm not going to be able to see any of those press conferences, because I got invited to all the press conferences that occur before my plane lands on Monday, and I got rejected for all the press conferences that occur after my plane lands on Monday. So I'm going to be watching on TV from my hotel room. So the last story I'm going to report tonight, this one I actually didn't even see. This one kind of got hidden for me, unfortunately. And it's actually a clarification. It's something that I actually brought up on the show last week, and I had apparently, I didn't have wrong information, because that was the information I had at the time, but the information changed this week. And we can, I think, I don't know, does the consumerist have anything to do with this? Does the consumerist have anything to do with this? Game Informer reports that an EA representative have explained about online passes, and that even retroactive ones are now available at no cost. So basically, EA has decided to axe online passes for everything. Initially, they just said for games moving forward, but now they've extended it. The Xbox 360 was the first platform to see the removals. They'll be trickling down to all platforms in the weeks to come. So John Riesberg from EA's corporate communications department told Game Informer, quote, as we discontinue online pass for our new EA titles, we're also in the process of eliminating it from all our existing EA titles as well. We heard the feedback from players and decided to do away with online pass altogether. Players will see it first with some EA Sports titles where a prompt to enter an online passcode will no longer appear in-game. With other titles, we are simply making online passes available free of charge online. These are rolling updates that are taking effect over the next several weeks. We hope players continue to enjoy our games and online services for a long time to come. Unquote. Fifth Dream says, no online for anyone. Good for you, EA. Took you long enough. I'm happy to say I never redeemed any of those online pass codes. I've had the games. I just never played them online. But, hey, you know, you listened. And, man, this deal with Microsoft and Sony has to be real sweet if they're even giving up revenue now for games currently on the market. Shadow Next Gen says, Ubisoft hasn't had a great press conference in a while, but Aisha Tyler's coming back, and she's going to be hosting Whose Line Is It Anyway in July. And she's on Archer. SJ100 Matt says, does this mean Mass Effect 3 can be on Steam? The reason it's not on Steam is because the DLC is only available on Origin, and Valve will not allow games to have DRM. If a game is on Steam, Valve's policy is all DLC must also be available on Steam, and EA has said, no, it's only going to be available on Origin, and so Valve has said, no, then we can't carry your game. That has nothing to do with the online pass. It has everything to do with the DLC. Speaking about TV real quick, Tiger Claw says, will it have most of the original cast? Whose Line Is It Anyway? Improv comedy show. It aired on, it was a British show, then aired on ABC Family. It's coming back on the CW in July. Drew Carey was the host of the American version. He is obviously telling people to come on down and can't do it. So Aisha Tyler's the host, but they are bringing back Wayne Brady, Colin Mochrie, and Ryan Stiles, and then a fourth guest who is rotating. And so, and yes, that is pretty much, that's even the, like, cast they had in the British version. Well, Wayne Brady was added in the American version, but I love me some Whose Line. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then we're going to take your calls, because we'll actually have some more time for calls tonight. I actually am running on time tonight. This is new. And you can call in and talk about what you're expecting to see at E3. It's 1 week away. Next Sunday night will be our E3 preview, and then I get on a plane Monday morning during the pressers I was invited to, so I can land and sit in my hotel room and watch the ones I weren't. I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter at all. So we'll take a quick music break, take your calls, and we can talk about E3 and the new consoles. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
This is Professor Shy Guy participating with the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
Professor Shy Guy, his Kickstarter got funded. Awesome. So his new album, Rated Hard, we had him on the show a couple weeks ago. And soon his album will actually be out for people who didn't Kickstarter. Unfortunately, the Zelda movie, It's Dangerous to Go Alone, the movie, OLR had him on. It did not get funded. And so he's looking into his other options, but hopefully... Vogue will still have a part in the movie, but that's sad. It's the first Kickstarter thing I've backed that didn't get funded. That's sad. But Professor Shy Guy got funded, and so his CDs will be coming out pretty soon. If you want to leave a bumper, all you have to do is call the toll-free number and leave a voicemail, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America, and or you can send me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. You can get that 30-day free trial. You can get a free audiobook, and that's yours to keep even if you cancel before the trial is over. There's a whole bunch of audiobooks up there. You know, World War Z, it's coming out with a movie. The book is so much better. I can just tell you that right now. And the audiobook is amazing for World War Z. So you can make that your free audiobook by going to audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. So the phones are now open. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can call in, talk about anything going on, talk about E3, ask questions about E3. I've been to a couple, so I kind of know how things work. Breakman was asking if Nintendo got the last press conference slot because they sucked in the previous press conference. They've always had that slot. Like, it's always been the same order for, like, the past couple years. It's not like soccer or football, you know, what you guys call football outside of the U.S. It's not like that where if you suck, you get knocked down to the next high league or whatever. You get knocked down. It's not like that. They've always been there. Travis Donovan agrees with me. Zombies don't run. And in World War Z, the zombies, there's a whole bunch of them, and they're all slow. That's in the book. and in the movie they're running after Brad Pitt. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwell Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase punch. What up G says Nintendo is doing something early for press. What Nintendo is doing is they're opening their booth to select members of the press. And I am obviously, I'm not on their list, so I don't even get to be in that. So that's what they're doing. Basically, it's so, what Nintendo is doing, they're not doing a traditional press conference, they're doing the Nintendo Direct, but instead of them talking on stage about their games, they are going to be inviting the press into their booth so they don't have to actually stand in line to play all the games. And then what they're doing is that they're going to Best Buy kiosks all around the world, and they are all around the country, and they are then letting you play the demos, not having to stand in line like I am. We have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hi, this is Raginator.
Raginator, what's going on, man?
Not much. I saw you were kind of dying in terms of lack of phone calls. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd save you and call in.
Well, thank you.
The best I can come up with for a topic that's gaming related is a two-part question. Based on what limited information that has been released by the three major console manufacturers, mm-hmm, and third parties, what systems or system or systems are you likely to buy day one? And are there any games that, based on what you know right now, that you may be at least somewhat excited by?
Well, I mean, I buy them all day one because I'm a consumer whore like that. The Wii U I bought day one. I got Scribblenauts Unlimited for it. The Xbox One right now, Forza 5. If that's going to be a day one, then that's exactly what I'm going for. And the PS4, maybe Drive Club. Like, I'm going to racing games, but yeah, I mean, basically, they haven't shown many of the games, so, you know, I ask me that after E3, but I will get them first day because I just will.
Yeah, I kind of figured, you would say something along that lines, because, like I said, information has been limited so far, but, based on what little I see, the racing games certainly look good. The only question is, was the footage that we're seeing like pre-render stuff, which is probably most likely, or was it actually in-game stuff?
Mm-hmm. That was all pre-render stuff, but I like I trust the Forza team, so it's their pedigree. That's why. No, it's been all pre-rendered stuff. Shadow Next Gen thinks I'm going to be all over Killzone.
I can't see that happening.
No.
The day you pick up a first-person shooter, it's the same day I'll play Barbie Horse Adventures.
And okay, well, go ahead and play Barbie Horse Adventures because I have Bioshock Infinite.
You may have it, but I haven't seen you play it yet.
Well, it's because I don't have it on PC. I can't stream from the Xbox. Anyway, thanks for your call, man.
All right, have a good one.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. What up G says, Black Wolf, which Forza do you like, the traditional series or Horizon or both? I love them both. I actually did enjoy Horizon a whole lot, but I really enjoy the original series a lot more than Gran Turismo, which I'm still waiting for Gran Turismo 5 to come out. Bobby Black Wolf Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Black Wolf, Shadow Next Gen.
Shadow Next Gen, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going? Thought I'd call in for a couple of minutes today, since this time next week I shall be in L.A. and won't be able to do so.
I know. You can actually get in Sunday. I can't get in Sunday night. So I had to turn down everything. And then I don't get invited. I don't get to see Aisha Tyler.
Yeah, I'm sad. You're not in it. You're not in for the Ubisoft.
I emailed them. They actually big timed me.
Did they?
They big timed.
So kind of like Microsoft did for us on the show floor.
Yeah.
Or like, you don't need an appointment to come to the booth. Well,
I was trying to be nice. I was like, Microsoft actually invited me, and I never get invited by Microsoft to their presser, which is why I don't come in Sunday night, mm-hmm, because that's an added hotel. And, you know, with my two cats, I have to board them right now because of medical issues. So, and that's an extra 2 days because the boarding facility is not open on Sunday.
Yeah.
So that's actually why I can't leave until Monday morning. It's because I have to, I take them immediately when they open. Then I go down to the airport. I cannot get into LA any earlier. But it was never a problem because I never was invited to any of the early press conferences. It was always the later ones. And this time, Microsoft and EA invited me. Ubisoft didn't, and Sony probably won't.
Sony is very strange. The past couple of years, they haven't had invites go out until, you know, almost literally the last minute.
Yeah, but they've gone out.
For this year?
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe I won't be at theirs then, because I don't remember getting one.
Yeah, no, I asked on Twitter, and a couple of my colleagues, they've gotten theirs. They're out.
Interesting. I'll have to try and contact someone. That'd be the first time in quite a while.
I know. I got invited. I got invited to Sony's last year, and I wasn't even going to E3.
Yeah.
I got invited. It was at my old email address, the one I don't have anymore. But
yeah, I should probably. I was gonna check a couple of old emails, see if there's something lurking around in there.
Yeah. So, but
you never know.
I sent to their generic media one.
Yeah.
Their generic media email, and I'm like, hey. You guys have invited me before. I want to hang out at the sports arena.
Yeah.
I'll cheer. No, I won't cheer.
Not even if they introduce Katamari for PS4?
I'm so over Katamari.
Are you?
Unless Keita Takahashi's doing it. If he does it, I'm all there. But I'm going to enjoy the classics, and I still go back and play those. But yeah, we don't need another one.
Yeah. So I personally, I'm hoping there's something to all these Mirror's Edge 2 rumors.
Yes.
There have been too many mistakes lately. Mm-hmm. You know, there was Amazon Germany and Italy.
Yeah.
And then also EA themselves had that help page up briefly.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's, especially with the EA thing, that's, if that's a hoax, it's a very elaborate hoax.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's anybody hacking them, because why would you hack to say Mirror's Edge 2?
Yeah.
Of all games, you know. Now, one thing that I'm kind of curious is that, you know, because I've got an Oculus Rift headset on order, and Mirror's Edge 1 works with the Oculus Rift.
Mm-hmm.
So that is going to mess with my mind.
Oscar, are you someone who gets motion sickness?
Nope.
No, okay, so that wouldn't be a potential problem.
Right. But I am stereo blind, so it doesn't. So that aspect of the Rift isn't going to work for me.
Yeah.
Unless they can do something. And that's one of the reasons, like, everybody's wondering, you know, so, because I always talk about on the show, especially with, like, 3D movies and stuff, I can't see in 3D. The actual term is stereo blind.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I don't see in 3D, the only place I can see 3D is on the 3DS, and it's actually been finally explained to me why I can see 3D in the 3DS. And it's because the reason I'm stereo blind is because my eyes aren't in the same, they aren't looking at the same spot.
Okay.
So I'm only looking out of one eye at a time. The other one's kind of on standby. But when I hold the 3DS at the correct distance, correct angle, it corrects, just like a pair of glasses would correct astigmatism.
Nice.
It corrects my stereo blindness. So I can actually see 3D through the 3DS screen. And
so
people are saying is that maybe with the Oculus Rift, if they can determine the angle of your eyes, kind of like what they do with glasses if you have astigmatism...
Yeah.
If they determine the angle, they can actually correct your stereo blindness with an Oculus Rift headset.
Yeah, no, that would be very cool. No, I remember sitting next to you, might have even been at a Sony conference again. They were showing some Killzone, Infamous, whatever, trailer in 3D. And everyone was kind of oohing and aahing, and unfortunately you couldn't see it.
Yeah, well, it was just a darker 2D for me. It darkens it. And I mean, I've even watched, I saw Star Trek Into Darkness in 3D and or the 3D movie, because it was a fan preview, so it was before it came out.
Okay.
And it was like, I can see the gimmicks. So like when they had like, you know, and
when they throw a spear at the screen.
Yes, when the spear threw at the screen, I'm like, okay, that was in 3D. And like every once in a while when they had like text on the bottom right corner of the screen, because they would put that in 3D, I would see that would be in 3D, but nothing else.
Yeah. Now, did you hear, I don't know, unfortunately I didn't get to listen to all your show today. Did you mention the Tales of Symphonia story?
No, I didn't.
Do you know of it?
No.
Supposedly, there's going to be a Tales of Symphonia, basically HD collection, you know, the GameCube and the Wii title, because, you know, the sequel did come out on the Wii.
Right.
They're going to be put in HD and put on the PS3.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But the thing is, in October, it's Japan, and in early 2014, it's coming out for us.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know. I really don't know how good that's going to sell, because, you know, at that point, the PS4 is going to have been out already.
Yeah, but it takes a while for it to be adopted. I mean, PS2 games still sold after the PS3 came out.
I mean, yeah, but I was doing it.
Yeah.
Other companies have just done that before. I know Square Enix did that with, like, Final Fantasy XII.
Yeah.
Where they released it, I think it was, within the week that the Wii came out, or something.
It was, well, I remember Final Fantasy XII was the game I played in my PS3 the most.
Yes.
For the longest time.
Yes, I haven't been able to do that with my PS3.
Yeah, I was able to do it with mine.
Yeah.
So some people in chat, Cial asks, Black Wolf has no depth perception. I don't have depth perception in the way you do. Because I've been like this. I had eye muscle surgery when I was 18 months old. So it's kind of like when you grow up like this, you figure it out. I can't catch a ball really well, but I can drive just fine. And it's because the same way that, like, if you're looking at a painting or you're looking at a game on your TV screen that's not in 3D, but it's 3D, but it's projected into the 2D matrix, you can tell the distances. You can work that out in your head. That's how I see everything. Basically, it looks, cover one eye, that's how I see the world. Cover one of your eyes, and that's exactly how I see the world.
All right, and then one last thing, and then I'll let you go, Bobby. I was thinking when you were speaking earlier about how Sony is kind of keeping quiet and letting Microsoft take all the hits for them. Do you think that the PS4 will have a similar situation to the Vita, in that before the Vita came out, let's say a month or two beforehand, everyone was pretty high on it because it looked pretty cool. And then stuff started coming out, you know, the $100 memory card, you know, the bad battery life. And there were a couple of other, you know, things that they deliberately, I'm sure, held off until the very last point to tell people.
Maybe.
So you think, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So do you think it's going to be like kind of like a similar scenario? Like they're going to maybe not even mention any of this, so maybe until TGS or something.
Most likely. I mean, they know that they're going to have to do some stuff that the consumers aren't going to like. But they're going to hope that it's going to be kind of like the same way that the consumers didn't like broadband in the original Xbox. Because it took away their 56K modem, and eventually it'll be fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've got to try to minimize that damage. And if they've got a good PR team, they'll be able to do that. But I think they absolutely are going to be weighing, you know, not revealing things until as late as they can.
So. All right. Well, nice chatting to you, Blackwolf, and I'll see you next week in LA.
See you next week.
Yep.
So that's it for the calls tonight. Thanks so much, everybody. We're 1 year old here at VOG, and coming up next is one of the other two shows that helped form VOG, along with Under Sedation Live. Travis Donovan's in chat. I didn't want to mention him because he told me he hated what I was going to be unveiling, and he doesn't even know what it is yet. So Travis is kind of out of the will already because he pissed me off somewhat, kind of, sort of. But Orange Lounge Radio hasn't, and Sacramento, are you guys there?
Yes, we're here, and gosh, I hope we don't tick you off.
No. Travis just said he hated what I was going to unveil.
Oh,
all hail the PC Master Race.
Yes.
Inability to connect to each other.
VOG Network Game Night. We've tried to play two PC games. I miss my consoles.
It kind of reminds you why people are willing to pay for Xbox Live.
Yes.
In the place.
Seriously, it's like you think it would be easy, and no. And even it's like you set it up correctly, and you do everything that they ask you, and then it's like, nope, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, good comment in our chat room. What up, G says gamershateeverything.com, of course. Maybe we need a travishateseverything.com or some.
I'm not buying that. I've already got to buy the VogNetwork.com.
Travis should become the official meme of VOG.
Yes.
The official grumpy cat, Grumpy Trav.
Yes.
We get to work on that. You're the designer.
I'll use that gift of Photoshop to
get,
do that.
Get a screen cap of Travis during USL when something's broken and he's making that face. And
I should do a disco version too.
There you go.
There you go.
Or recursive Travis.
By the way, this is what we're announcing for our 1 year.
Yes. Yes, that's the 1 year. We're going to have dancing Travis, and it's going to be recursive in GIF form.
Fantastic.
Happy birthday to the site.
Yes, happy birthday, VogNetwork.com and TheVogNetwork.com.
Yes. We've been busy. We've done some new stuff. You've done some new stuff.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you talk about some of the stuff you've added into? You actually got to play around and played around in our admin.
I did. Well, you know, I'm in there posting stories too. Right. It sounds like the first time I've touched
it. No. The game admin.
Yes, the game admin. Lots of exciting stuff to commemorate the first anniversary. Some of you that are heavy users of the site are probably noticing a bit of recycled loot where you might have collected like 7 buckets of popcorn by now. There is some new loot in there. At least, I would say at least I think 15 pieces of loot added into the system today for a variety of different things. So the game is shifting a little bit, and it's going to be very interesting. And a lot of points handed out today in the game based on some retroactive awards. So June's tabulations are going to be very interesting.
Yeah. I broke the game this morning. It was 3:30 in the morning, and I'm like, I need to break the game.
The game has changed.
Yes. I'm winning. I'm going to win this month, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Like, Bobby's cheating in his own game.
I am. I'm cheating because I knew what the loot was going to be before I made it.
Yeah.
And so I was able to work toward it. Now everybody knows what it's going to be. Well, everybody will know what it's going to be and stuff. And you also, I had the station on today, and I heard some stuff I hadn't heard.
That's right. There's some new music, finally. I know a lot of you guys have been saying, when are you going to put some new stuff in there? I'm starting to hear stuff over and over again. There is about a couple hours, I would say, of new music that's in there, and some of the songs that weren't so popular are no longer there. But I can't take sole credit for that. A lot of the music came from Dark Sakura.
Because I plan on infecting everybody with Homestuck music.
As well, you've been warned, as well as Brad from Pod Culture, huge help with that. So I want to give a shout out to Brad. Thank you.
And we do have some Professor Shy Guy in rotation now.
Yes, we do.
Because he left us a nice bumper.
Yes, he did.
As Vogue.
Lots more bumpers coming in the near future, too. They're not in there yet, but Rama has been furiously collecting them over the past year. And so we hope to get all those in there very soon.
Yeah. And one thing also that we're mentioning the music thing, you should go in and listen to it because we finally listen to you, to listen to people who've complained, because there's a lot of people, they go to a website, and if there's any kind of audio that starts, they immediately leave the website.
Right.
And so we finally listened, and we turned off the autoplay.
That's right.
Now, if you like the autoplay, there's a little button there that says enable autoplay that will autoplay it on your computer, so that's still there if you liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But for those that are not, that don't like music coming out of their speakers when they're not expecting it, you can now safely go to VogNetwork.com. Unless a video shows on, because the video still autoplays. So, like, during USL, Travis still gets to annoy you the minute you go to the webpage, which I think he's happy about.
There really isn't anything you can do about that. And we'd rather too, that if something's going to autoplay, it be the original content and that stuff. I mean, if there was a way we could only have the autoplay during the live shows, mm-hmm. Type of thing, I think we'd do that. But for now, because most of the day is still the music, we're going to shut it off.
So... And yeah, so that was the big announcement. We got rid of the autoplay.
That is the huge announcement. Good night.
Good night, everybody. So, but yeah, we've been around a year. And unfortunately, you're not coming next week.
Well, I am.
You but are, I'm... but later.
Rob, we do not need to know about your personal life.
Hello. Here's the thing. I'm showing up to the after party. That's it. Yes. I don't get to go to the show, but I'm coming for the party.
So I'm all alone.
Forever alone.
He just gets smudge up the glass on the windows, outside looking in.
Be quiet.
Open.
Exactly. Let me in.
So since I'm the only one that gets to go in from Vogue, because the Vogue Pope did not smile on anybody else, or the E3 Pope.
Blessed by them.
We've decided, I've been to E3, how many, like 15 times? I think I missed last year, and that's it. Like everything since 1997, so I've kind of done the whole, "Hey, I'm going to go to E3, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to podcast, and I'm going to talk for an hour, and you're going to have to wait until Sunday to hear what I think, and you may have questions, and then I'll get there, and I'll be like, I don't know what you want, or at least you guys, what you would do is every night you'd come back and record a podcast, at night."
Mm-hmm.
Which for me, when I go to E3, it's not as much about the games and it's more about networking. Mm-hmm. And so my evenings are actually pretty darn full. I've got more stuff going on Tuesday and Wednesday nights than I do Tuesday and Wednesday of the day. So I don't really want to be sitting in my hotel room putting up content.
Well, to be fair, some of those shows were done at like 10 or 11 o'clock at night the years that we went here at OLR. So long days.
Yes. But they're even longer nights. So I've decided that I wanted to do something a little different. And I'm going to try this. The Vogue in its entirety has been in a big experiment. The Vogue site is me saying, hey, I wonder what would happen if we did this. And, luckily, Rob and Jamie and Matt have kind of been like, okay, I don't understand really what you're saying, but go ahead and do it, and we'll see if it looks cool.
Oh, no. I'm like, you need graphics for what?
Yeah. I need it in this size and this color. But, it's a lot of this is like, yeah, this would be cool. Let's try it. Why not? And so, you know, since I've started covering E3, like rise of microblogging and social media and all that stuff has really risen, and it's more instant. And, you know, people are on Twitter, and, you know, it's kind of born out of an idea that, Rob, you had about how OLR would cover E3, where you would just have people direct you, right?
Yep.
So I decided I was going to take that to its next logical conclusion and blow it up by about 100 times. So I have not played a single video game in the last 2 weeks because I've been coding furiously, which is where some of the loot changes also happened because it was all in the same system. And I have decided that I can't be your first source for news. VOG Network is not going to be able to be your first source for anything about E3. I can't do that. I am incapable of that. I admit my failings. I fail at that.
And so many of you guys are watching the press conferences and so forth directly. You're your own first source, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so you're going to be sitting at home, and you're going to be reading, you know, sites like Polygon or things like that, and you're going to get all your E3 news from there. You're going to be watching Spike TV. You're going to be watching game trailers and all that, and there's going to be live streams. Twitch, Machinima, they all have live streams from the show floor and everything. So you're going to be able to see a lot of stuff there, and that's where you're going to get your overview. We don't want to be your first place for E3 news. We want to be your second. And what I mean by that is, I have been on VOG Network, which you're going to see in probably about 5 minutes when you go there, is that you're going to find that we have the entire E3 show floor mapped on our site, literally mapped. And you're going to be able to go into any of the booths, and you're going to be able to submit your own question about a game inside that booth. And what I'm going to be doing is, while I'm on the show floor, I'm not going to be updating Twitter. I'm not going to be updating Facebook or anything like that. I'm going to be updating this site. And I actually have I've got a version of the site that runs on my mobile browser that, you know, doesn't have any graphics or anything. So it's really, really slim and, you know, doesn't take up a lot of bandwidth, so I can use it on the show floor when everybody's trying to use their cell phones. And I'm going to be writing short updates, and I'm going to be posting pictures. I'll take a picture from my phone and upload it directly to the site, and I'll be answering your questions. And basically the idea is, if you read a preview about a game and there's that one question that you really want to know and it wasn't answered in the preview, well, they're not going to go back and ask that question for you. But I can go and try to see if I can get an answer for you. And Rob, you were playing around with this earlier, right?
I was fun writing a bunch of fake questions that I wanted to ask Sega and so forth. But this, you know, as you mentioned earlier, we used to kind of do something very similar to this through Orange Launch Radio on Twitter. And this is definitely the next evolution of that, where now it's really kind of built into VOG. And although so many people, you know, aren't able to get into E3, you know, especially because E3 doesn't really, or at least their media extension doesn't really understand the new media, mm-hmm. you know, they really allow in the Twitters and the YouTubes and all that. This is a great way for all of us participating through the Voice of Geeks Network to kind of get our little voice, our one participant we do have, kind of get our voice leveraged through him. So you guys basically get to control Bobby where he's at the show and the types of questions he's going to ask.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Ask about Shenmue 3.
I wish that was being shown. I mean, there's going to be a lot of stuff that I'm not going to be able to ask. We are going to kind of moderate through the questions. You know, so if, like, you ask questions that, you know, are trolling and spam and stuff, we'll catch that, and you know, you might not like the consequences. And, you know, I'm going to be going through, and there's a lot of stuff, like, that I'm just not going to ask because everybody knows it's not going to happen, you know, or, you know, like, I probably would ignore the Shenmue question, unfortunately, because we all know it's not there, and they're not going to say anything about it, so, you know, I'm not going to waste their time. But if this is more, you know, I want to know what you want to know about. Because I always come back on Sundays and everybody's like, well, what about this? What did you think about this? What did you think about this? I didn't see that. I didn't know anybody wanted to know about that. So this way you can tell me exactly what you want to know about, and I will try to answer the question. Now, also on the map that you're going to see, it's color-coded. So you're actually going to be able to see, not in real time. I didn't build it in real time, so you're going to have to refresh the page to see it update. I didn't make it that cool this year. But if there's a booth that's purple, we have an appointment there. And so it's really going to be easy for me to ask your questions there. But once I that appointment starts and the time is actually going to be there on the map, you're going to see it in your time zone, it's going to turn red. You're not going to be able to ask any more questions. So the questions are going to be cut off then. You'll see green booths, which means that I've uploaded stuff. I've actually updated that booth. I've posted answers or pictures. Or if it's yellow, that means that other people have asked questions. So you can go in there, and if you have a question, you can tack it on. And the more questions that are asked, the more likely I am to try to get answers for all of them. So it's really basically I'm asking you guys to tell me what you want to know and trying to give you all the tools. There's going to be a Twitter hashtag, Vogity3 is the Twitter hashtag. It's actually going to be automatically updating when we do updates, both on the Vogue Network Twitter, and then my personal Twitter will also be updating as I update different booths. It's going to be really cool to see it all in action. And the main page of our E3 coverage is actually going to have, you know, This was updated this time, and there's comments and all that stuff, and so it's a huge undertaking, and I have no clue if this is going to work or not.
It's an experiment.
So if you want to understand what I'm talking about, all you have to do is you can go right now to e3.vognetwork.com, and there is actually a YouTube video explaining the entire process, because you can't do anything except look right now. We are not opening the participation aspect of this until the Sony press conference is over. Once the Sony press conference is over, then you will be able to leave questions and stuff, because we don't want to have people ask questions that then get answered in the Sony press conference.
Right. So, a lot of people have questions right now about, you know, a lot of things, but the press conferences will hopefully clear a lot of what you are wondering about now up, and then leave you with a new set of questions.
Mm-hmm. But all 185 booths are filled in that we know of. And there are some that aren't, because they weren't on the initial map. I'm going to have to be updating this, because, like, Take-Two Interactive, I know where their meeting room is. It was marked as empty on the thing that I was going by. So, like, Take-Two doesn't have their booth, but they have a meeting room. And you can actually go through and see all the meeting rooms. Those I'm probably not going to be able to get you any answers from, because those are appointment-only meeting rooms. We do have some appointments in those meeting rooms. And you can ask questions there, like Deep Silver's in there, and I'm going to be seeing Saints Row 4 hands-on. And so you'll have to get any questions about Saints Row 4 in before that time. You know, I will try. It's going to be a lot easier in the actual booths to be able to get answers. Not so much the meeting halls, but the option is there just in case I get lucky.
If it sounds a little bit confusing, the video really explains it very well, and it's really like any other. It's as easy as commenting on a story on the site. I think once you guys see it in action, you're going to be like, "This is awesome."
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. And you said this on Horde House, because I gave you a sneak preview, and you were talking about it on Horde House. I've never seen anybody do this before. I'm not saying nobody's tried this before, but I don't know why they haven't.
Exactly. It's one of those things where you kind of go, I'm really surprised that I don't see this on any other website. And, you know, the internet's a big place. Maybe it's been something similar, probably has been done somewhere out there. You know, we talked about that. We've done it on
E3 on PSP.
Yeah, E3 on PSP.com, right?
That was a terrible experiment.
But, you know, so much, unfortunately, of what we get out of the show is a lot of canned press releases and so forth. So, you know, really being able to see it through Bobby's eyes in a way is something very different.
I'm very disappointed that I can't ask questions for food service.
Why is it so expensive?
But what I did do is the Ouya booth, I just like threw in the corner of, like, I think the concourse level, because they're out in the parking lot, so they're not on any of the official ones. But there's like an Ouya just sitting in the concourse level, and that's the Ouya booth. So if you have any questions for Ouya, and I think, Rob, you may be trying to go to that.
We're going to see. I'm going to hope that I can answer some of the questions, too, for some things that are a little more public than others.
So,
what is Snail Games USA?
They are doing, and the only reason I got in, and what I'm going to be doing also is I'm going to start adding in, I can actually add in descriptions to these booths and saying what they're going to be showing and what I'm allowed to say. A lot of companies, they're like, don't release this. This is under embargo, what we're showing. But they are apparently doing an MMO dance game.
Oh, sweet.
And
oh,
that's
wow.
The only awesome reason I got. I'm like, I will get that appointment just to see what an MMO dance game is.
Xtango Online.
I can't remember what it's called, but it's an MMO dance game. And that's like the. And they're going to show me others. They're an MMO company. They're going to be showing that. Another company that I'm actually. That I don't have an appointment with, because I'm just going to walk in. That's. I'm kind of interested for my retro stuff. Is it's called Enix. And it's not Square Enix. It's INNEX. They are on the far right portion of the West Hall, I think, and they are going to be showing wireless controllers for the original NES, the SNES, and the N64. So these are actually wireless controllers that work with the retro consoles. So I'm going to be interested to see if those actually work.
So did you give the URL out yet?
I did. People are already on it. e3.vognetwork.com.
Well, I think there's one more thing that's important to say about this, and I hope I'm not stepping out of bounds by saying this and giving a little extra away, but I think it's important to note, since this is the Voice of Geeks Network, this E3 thing is an experiment of sorts, and if it's well-received by you guys and people are using it to participate and so forth, the great thing about what Bobby's built is that this can be applied to future conventions as well, and we're not just talking E3 next year. We mean Penny Arcade, heck, Comic-Con, and some of the other geeky things that go on out there. So this is just the beginning, and that's why this is worthy of a new site feature announcement, because this isn't just about E3. This is about a lot of future conventions.
Yes, we're going to see how it works here, and then as we, you know, and then kind of tweak it as we go along, because I've already got ideas of how I can do it better. And, but I didn't want to overwhelm myself on the first time trying to use this, because I'm going to be using the stuff I built for the first time as well on the show floor. And because I actually do have, like, my own little interface that I can see. I can see the questions. I cannot see the comments. And we actually do – you can actually see on the comment thing, it'll say that. I can't respond to the comments, but that's where you guys can discuss amongst yourselves in a booth. So.
Exactly. Like, what is this Brigham Young University booth? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know why they're there either.
We'll find out.
Yeah, you guys will probably ask me, and I'll probably have to go find out.
You know what? I actually think that they're marketing to potential students in art and design.
Yeah.
There's a lot of universities that have been at E3 in the past putting out feelers for new talent.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've done that stuff. Tiger Claw says maybe even Dragon Con. And see, here's the thing, since we said this, and I'm going to go ahead and address this now. This is designed for more trade show type stuff, where the actual companies that put out the content have booths. Dragon Con and a lot of anime conventions, not all of them, are mostly people selling t-shirts and swords, and that's your exhibit hall. It's not made for that. Like, this is not something I would ever use at Dragon Con, because nobody shows up to Dragon Con to talk about that stuff. The people who did now go to PAX instead. But like Comic Con, maybe the New York Toy Fair, Penny Arcade Expo, definitely. That's the kind of stuff that this would be good for, not for anime conventions and sci-fi conventions and stuff like that, because it's made for us to go ask questions of companies, not to go, you know, talk to a t-shirt maker.
But stay tuned for our 2-year anniversary.
Yes. Who knows?
Anything's possible.
So so Tiger Hall says, so maybe Tokyo Game Show. Hey, if you guys want to pay for us to go to Tokyo Game Show,
Kickstarter.
Bobby?
Yeah.
A friend that goes every year.
Well, maybe we'll work something out.
We'll see. I have a friend who's willing to be my translator. He's gone to Tokyo Game Show and he lives out there, so he's like, "Yeah, you show up, I'll take you." I'm like, "Okay."
So. I'm fairly certain that this particular friend, because she also did work in the industry, would be more than happy to give us feedback. So I will see what I can do.
All right. And what's funny, I do have every booth at E3 in there, including like the Vox Media booth, because a lot of the company, a lot of the media people have booths for them, and it's basically just closed off for them to work, and that's all they are. And they're on our thing, and you can probably try to have me ask questions there, but I'm not going to be able to get in. Like the Vox Media booth, it's probably not even really a booth. It's probably just like a big walled garden. You can like look in and see your favorite Polygon editors working, but you can't interact with them. It's like a glass cage, a zoo. Yeah.
You should have like the special feature, who I ran into in the business room, the business media center.
Yeah. So that's the idea. We're going to see how it works. It all depends on you guys. If you guys don't use the feature, it's going to die. So I need help from you guys. Please, please use it and don't hate it like Travis does. Anything else?
No, I think that's it. That's what we wanted to talk to you guys about. New loot, new music, and a new feature, the E3 coverage, including future conventions as well. Again, though, we always are on the lookout for other established geeky podcasts that are looking to join the network. If you think you know a show that might be interested, have them reach out to me, rob@vognetwork.com. Again, we're looking for established shows, especially in areas where we're not already covered on the network. Definitely there's a need for like comic books right now. We don't have board card games type of thing. But again, we are looking for the established shows. So we want a show that we're looking for them to have about 5 episodes under their belt already. This is to show that they are, you know, committed to, you know, what is sometimes a large undertaking. So many podcasts, unfortunately, only get 2 episodes out before the hosts go, it's too hard, and they quit. So,
yeah. And thank you to all the shows that have stuck by us for the past year.
Absolutely. This would all not be possible tonight without the fine folks at Critical Myth and British Invaders, Pod Culture, of course, Anime Jam Session. Girls Gone Wow, which, by the way, happy 100th episode.
Woohoo!
Under Sedation Live, naturally, even though Travis is kidding. Horde House, they're okay.
I'm going to sit up here with my cigar and cancel Under Sedation Live, and the Jessica Harper show is going to start next week. Right. Nom, 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 nom.
I hope I got... I'm going to feel like crap if I forgot anybody, but I don't think I did. I ran over the list in my head.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Oh, yeah, you know, we're here.
Yeah, they're there. All right. Well, what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
Lots of news. More updates, of course, on the Xbox One, including one country saying this is a monitoring device, which could be very interesting for the future. Blizzard postponing one of their big projects, leaving us to wonder what is going to be a BlizzCon. And a legend from the 1980s about gaming coming full circle could be very interesting.
And it's GIF. The creator said it was GIF.
Well, even creators can be wrong. It's really unfortunate.
No.
Or to quote everyone who uses the Nick Fury picture on Tumblr, given that it's a stupid decision, I've decided to ignore it.
Exactly.
Well, I'm going to call you Jaime from now on.
No.
Yeah, that's stupid, too, because my name isn't spelled that way.
I don't care.
Don't get him started.
We're never playing Trackmania ever again.
I agree with that sentiment.
It is the... Yeah, never again.
That's something we can agree on.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
You as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will have a show next week. I'm not flying out until Monday morning, so I will still have my normal show on Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. You can catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for Houston on the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1. You can email me at mp3, bumpers, at bobbyblackwolf.com. I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/bobbyblackwolf, or on Twitter as Bobby Blackwolf, or you can contact me on my website, bobbyblackwolf.com. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show's not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet. And because I didn't really say this, I am still doing traditional interviews and stuff at E3, audio interviews that will be airing on the podcast, as well as doing what we're doing at e3.vognetwork.com. That is in addition. So don't worry, I will still have enough to say on the podcast that I don't get to say on the microblogging part of E3. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Sakura, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, Hecht, Misty, Ronma, The Rob D, Travis, John, Donovan, VXJSNXV, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Shadow Next Gen, Loki, Azure Edge, Boshka, Blood Drunk, Bob Coffee, Breakman, Burr, Seattle, Critical Myth, De Blue Guy, Degenerate Johnny, Eric RPG, Flux, Gamer Girl, Jif, not Jif Blitz. Why are you saying it twice? Giovedea, GK128, Kazan, Mako, Matt Cube, Monster B, MXC, MXT, Niche, Orange Wright, Koopa Kid, Jeremy, Queen Simia, Raginator, Rob Roberts, SJ100, Matt Technus, Tiger Claw, Toagak, True, What Up G, Zappy, and Zether. So that is it for me. I'm out. E3.vognetwork.com. I've spent 2 weeks building that, all that stuff that you're not even going to see. There is loot if you participate in that. So you have to go find it. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.